Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Hello, Sheldon. How
good evening.
So this is obviously Seal.
Yes.
Crazy. What's our theme today?
So the theme, well, considering that we've got this onslaught of politicians coming into the country,
yes,
everyone's descending on good old JHB.
Yes.
We thought we'd look at songs by artists that have hailed or referred to some kind of a war or like a big political event. And so we chose songs revolving around that theme. Now, this song, although it was massive, this was released in 1991.
He was massive.
Boy. Yeah, Seal. And Seal was just like a cool guy. Mm. Like, he was always this cool, like, smooth, like, you know, a rock star character.
Lots of cool, yeah.
Very, very cool. And like a tall, I think he was a model actually at one point. And so he did the song. It was from his debut album called Seal. And it was produced by Trevor Horn and Guy Sigsworth. And Guy Sigsworth has done production for Britney Spears and Madonna and Alanis Morissette, Björk. And the song is about the fall of the Berlin Wall in Germany. And so what happened was straight after the Second World War, there was this like big separation between the East and the West. And this wall went up in Germany that separated the communist side from the democratic side. And the western side was the democratic side, and the eastern side was the communist side. And the Germans used to call the wall of shame, because it was like this thing that separated the two countries, and it separated people straight down the middle. Like, if your family happened to be on the other side, that was it. You weren't allowed to cross the line.
Mm.
And then in 1991, this wall came down. And it was a big thing. And it's so weird, because there were so many like seminal political moments around about that time.
Yeah.
So in 1991, this wall comes down.
Remember the imagery?
Yeah, the people breaking down the wall.
And those pieces of wall.
People, you could buy pieces of the wall. And it was this thing that separated the world for the longest time, from 1961 to 1991. So it separated the world down this line. They called it the Iron Curtain that went up. And finally, this wall came down. And as I said, there were all these other seminal moments. In 1989, there was Tiananmen Square in China, where these students got attacked by the army in China. And so that's what the song was talking about, like the world being a crazy place at that time, and talking about the Berlin Wall and all of these other political moments that were happening in the world.
It's the POV Rhythm and Beats
on Kaya 959
with Pimelo Modine.
Okay, we don't have to say this is Fela Kuti, because you should know.
Yes.
Everybody should know.
If you don't know,
there's no way.
You can't take the register.
There is no way. I mean, and this is... So there is something quite electric about him. I mean, I don't know if there's another word to describe his energy.
Yeah, he was just full of energy. Probably one of Nigeria's biggest exports. Highly respected in the world of music, not only in Nigeria but across the world.
So for us who are not music fundies, you need to explain to us musically what is it about him
that makes it so interesting. I think number one, he was a highly charismatic.
You know who he reminds me of? Muhammad Ali. That fire. That fire in the belly that you can do nothing about. It's just fire.
Yeah. I mean, he had almost the same charisma as like a Freddie Mercury.
Yes.
Like this very like dynamic, very confident stage performer.
Very confident.
And you know, I was actually speaking to someone just last week about this. oftentimes it's not about the music so much as it is about the narrative.
That's
that the
why
person
I
creates.
Asked about the music element, yeah. Because for me he's so much more than the music.
Yes,
like he's the fireball himself.
Exactly, yeah. And so people buy into the narrative that these artists create, like this phenomenal stage performer and his interaction with the audience and his energy, and he was a good looking guy, and then the music is very authentically Nigerian. One of the first artists that really like introduced the Afrobeat sound to the world, and he had an immense cult following. Now this specific song, which was released in 1976, came at about the time of the assassination of the head of the head of state, Murtala Muhammad. And you know, the big thing with Fela Kuti was that he was very, very anti the government.
Yes.
And what he had done, he had recently been attacked by at his residence, which was called Kalabukuta Republic. So it created like his own little country within Nigeria, because he didn't agree with what was happening in Nigeria. And at this home, he was attacked and beaten up by the opposing party, and his mother was killed because of this attack. She was beaten so severely that she didn't make it. And what he did was he wrote this song called Zombie, which was a critique on the government. And it was banned in Nigeria, but it grew wings outside of the country, and it became this iconic song that became very closely associated to Fela Kuti because of his critique of the government. I mean, even the compound that he created was as a response to what was happening in Nigeria and the fact that he didn't like it. And it also coincided with this assassination of the head of state. And so it is quite interesting that he and this is the big thing with artists, is that they almost play like a peripheral political role. They're not political commentators in themselves, but because they are outside of the political sphere, they can look inside and give more of an objective perspective. And that is why a lot of lay people will buy into the politics of musicians, because it's not coming from a sordid politician. It's coming from someone who's got an objective perspective on what is going on in a specific country. He landed up going to a prison called Calcutta in Nigeria, where he spent some time after this incident. The song before that was
the
a song
Legend
called
Remake. Eh?
Yeah, it's a cover version of a song that was performed by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. The singer is Teddy Pendergrass, the original singer, and that was released in 1975. So it just shows you at that point in history there was a bit of instability in the world. Now this was 1975, was the end of the Vietnam War. And so this song talks about people being, well, the previous song was called Zombie specifically because these army guys were being instructed to do these atrocious things. And so he refers to the army guys as zombies. They were just following orders but not considering what the impact was on the people. Now with this song, Wake Up Everybody, it's 1975, it's the end of the Vietnam War, and Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes decide to perform the song, and it's about like the world needing to wake up from the ridiculousness of what was happening in the world at that time. The song was written by Gamble and Huff, a very iconic songwriting duo, and it was a massive hit in 1975. And then in 2010, John Legend hooked up with The Roots, who are one of my most favorite hip-hop bands. Just an iconic hip-hop band. The Questlove is the drummer in the band. And John Legend and The Roots did a collaborative album called Wake Up, which is a political album. It was around about the same time that Barack Obama became president of the United States. And the whole thing was that John Legend had just been on the road with Barack Obama, campaigning for him and everything. And then they decided to release this album. And one of the songs that they released was this Wake Up Everybody, which is so symbolic because 1975, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes released this song. A black band in the 1970s releasing this song, which was so iconic and almost like a civil rights anthem. And then fast forward to 2010, the first black president, and they decide to use this specific song, which is so symbolic of like how the United States had come almost full circle, but was almost in exactly the same place that they had been back in 1975.
All right. Kaya. 959. So, Tracy Chapman. Did we not speak about Tracy Chapman?
We have spoken about Tracy Chapman before. No.
Was it that 2 weeks ago?
It was a while ago. Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, I can't remember. Can I just say something? Have you not just been nominated for an award?
What's wrong with you?
Congratulations. Pamela, no one deserves to be nominated more than you. You are such a legend. Can I just say, I just want to make this confession. I've been interviewed by many people, mm-hmm. and I just think you're one of the best interviewers in the business. Because you always know your stuff. You're on top of the game.
There's no conspiracy.
I just felt like, you know what? People need to get credit for what they do, and you are one of the best in the game. And well done on your nomination.
Thank you.
Anyway.
So was this all planned?
No, it wasn't planned. What do you mean?
I look around and I'm thinking, you people had all this.
Don't
plan.
You people us.
I can see Tando. I see Mudi Media, and I think, what's happening here?
Anyway.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. You know what? You're the Rolls Royce. Anyway. And so beautiful as well.
I will.
Just everything. 10 out of 10.
Thank you, Sheldon.
Anyway, so Tracy Chapman. What I love about, we actually did speak about it recently because it was when we did, a Michael Jackson show.
Mm.
And I spoke about how she's an extended relative of the Jackson family. Anyway, so this song, so Tracy Chapman was a very unlikely hero. And what's quite interesting is that both of these songs that we just listened to now were around about the same time. The one was 1990 and the one was 1988. And as I said, there was a lot of like turmoil in the world at around about that time. Apartheid was coming to an end. There was the Tiananmen Square thing in China. There was the fall of the Berlin Wall. There was a lot of change in the world, a lot of instability. There was even the Gulf War happening at the same time. I think that was 1990. So there was a lot of chaos in the world at the time. And Tracy had actually written this song as a high school kid, before she became
Isn't
famous.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, this level of
introspection and reflection for such a young person.
Yeah.
And that's why she was such an unlikely hero, because she wasn't... She came from an era which was encapsulated in these massive hair rock bands like Def Leppard, and there was Madonna, and there was Michael Jackson, and there were... Janet Jackson even at around about that time. There were all of these very flashy, over-the-top pyrotechnics, choreography. It was like just big, 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 big. And it was a symbol of the time that that we were in. Mm. The 80s was a time of a lot of greed and money and flashiness. And that was what was the 1980s.
Mm.
And she comes out with the guitar, her dreadlocks, very stripped down outfit. And if you listen to this song and you juxtapose it next to Brenda Fassie's song, they've got a lot of similarities. Very stripped down, very simple arrangements. The focus was on the lyrics and not on this fancy production of the song. And She's talking about social and economic inequality in the world and the potential for a collective action is essentially something tantamount to like the French Revolution, where people are going to go, enough of this BS. We are rising up and we are going to take our world back. And that's what she's talking about in this song. As a kid at school, she felt heavily marginalized. And I think children that are bullied at school become super introspective, which could explain like a song like this coming out of such a young person.
I can see that.
Someone that's been marginalized, they're on their own, they've got to do a lot of like thinking about this position and as a result thereof are able to then think beyond themselves and think beyond the walls that block them in and think about bigger purposes and what is happening in the world. And that was Tracy Chapman. Now, on the flip side, we had Brenda Fassie with Black President. And there you've got, once again, this song for Brenda Fassie was very uncharacteristic.
What year was this?
1990.
Yeah.
And
release of Madiba.
Yes. Just before. The song was released like a month before Nelson Mandela was released. This song is very uncharacteristic for Brenda Fassie, who was known for bubblegum, heavy beats, very
party.
Lots of production, chord progressions, like very over the top, everything. This song is like, where's all the flash? It's all taken out because it's about this thing about a black president in South Africa, which, even though there was talk that Nelson Mandela was going to be released, no one believed that there would ever be a black president in South Africa, even with that. Mm. Even though the ANC had been disbanded, I mean, unbanned.
Unbanned.
Not disbanded, sorry, I'm using music terminology. Even though the ANC had been unbanned, people were like, not even with that. People were super skeptical about what the future of the country was. And you look now in 2025 and you think we've got probably one of the most functional democracies in the world. And you look at all the cases that are coming out and the prosecutions that are occurring. This would not be something that would generally happen in other democracies. And it's really testing the veracity of our democracy here in South Africa and the fact that we are holding people to account for what has happened. I mean, we shouldn't have allowed it to happen to this extent, but now people are being held to account.
Our last song.
So our last song is from another Nigerian.
Yes.
So Burna Boy and a song called 2010-20 from 2020. A lot of 20s there. The song was based on events that occurred on the 20th of October 2020 when the Nigerian government officially allowed the military to shoot at a number of Nigerian citizens at a toll gate in Lagos. And he was so moved by the scenario that he was like, I need to place a flag at this point in history. And he wrote this song. It's quite shocking that something like that would happen. And it's even more shocking that someone like Burna Boy would take on this mantle.
And I mean, what do you make of his... He's become such a huge international star.
Massive international star. And I think, if you've got that kind of social power, you should use it for positive. And I think the reason why he can make commentary like this, like Fela Kuti had done in 1976, is because he has so much power. Mm-hmm. And not only in Nigeria, outside of Nigeria.
Sheldon, you're a rock star.
Thank you.
Rock star.
I am the Pope of Rock.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. We'll be back on Monday at 8.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.